Now we've been speaking about different types of dam that are not considered to be dam nida. Most of them fall into the category of dam makwa, either min haTorah, min derabanan, whatever the details that we spoke about. Certain types of dam makwas are still also min derabanan, like dam basulna we spoke about last week. Now the last of the strange kinds of dam that we're about to speak about is a dam which is not dam makwa. It's not being brought about by any wound. It's being brought about by the body itself. But it's what the Gemara calls dam chimud. Dam chimud means that it's not part of the woman's regular cycle. It's being brought about by some kind of an arousal, something else. Something is bringing about this dam that chimud lashon l'sachmod, that she's having some kind of a hirurim, whatever the case may be, that's bringing about this dam. Again, how biologically this works, I can't tell you. But that's what the Gemara discusses, this unique category called dam chimud. So the real question that the Rishonim deal with, is there even such a category? Does that make any difference whatsoever? If the dam is coming from the endometrial lining and there's no macha present, it's just that it's not being triggered by a regular body system, it's being triggered by something external, doesn't make any difference whatsoever in halacha. So there seem to be two Gemaras that talk about this, and as usual, the two Gemaras seem to appear to contradict one another. And the question is, what's the resolution to that apparent contradiction? So in one place, in the end of Maseches Nida, the Gemara speaks about dam chimud as being a problem. The Gemara says it's based on the concern of dam chimud that there's a big chumrah with the rabbanon that was instituted as follows. The Gemara says that any time a woman wants to get married, whether she is a nida, not a nida, is past the age of being a nida, is before the age of possibly being a nida, she is required to count shiv and akiyim, and she is required to go to the mikvah. So a woman's getting married at 85 years old, so she went to the mikvah already 30 years ago for the last time. She's never had any dam for the last 30 years, and afal pichein, the halacha requires that she count shiv and akiyim, and she goes to the mikvah. Why in the world is that? So the Gemara says that we're afraid that maybe mikach the nisuin, because she's so excited to get married, so maybe that triggers a little bit of dam that we may not have even seen the dam. That's what's called dam chimud, the Gemara says, and that would be a problem. The whole assumption of this Gemara is that dam chimud is metami, the woman. And this is what the Gemara calls tavua linase, tzvicha leishev shivinakiyim. Whenever a woman is getting ready to get married, so before she gets married, under all circumstances, she is required to count shivinakiyim. 99.9% of the time, this halacha doesn't really apply for us, because when our girls get married, so they're getting married, they have to go to the mikvah anyway. They have to go to the mikvah because of nida deraisa. A 20-year-old girl is getting married, so we don't need this halacha of tavua linase to tell her to go to the mikvah. She has to go for the last 8 years. She's been becoming a nida. But this does have relevance in second marriages, later marriages, marriages later in life, where a woman is already past the menopause and she's still getting married. So then the halacha would be she's still required to go to the mikvah as a chashash that maybe there was dam chimud. So it's clear from the Gemara that dam chimud is a factor. Otherwise, if it wasn't a factor, then why in the world did the Chacham institute this chumrah? So obviously, dam chimud is a problem. Nevertheless, there is a Gemara early on in Maseches Nida. It's a very strange story about the Rava was having a discussion with a non-Jewish woman, and was the queen, I don't know, the queen of the mother of the prince, I don't know the whole story exactly, I can't figure out from the Persian, I have to check Rabbi Landi, maybe you can figure out who it was exactly, whatever Persian monarch, royal family, somebody Rava was talking to, and Rava was explaining to this woman that he was able to discern, he was able to tell the difference between different dam that would come out of a woman's body. He could tell just by looking at it whether it was dam nidus or whether it was dam chimud. So the question is, why is that important? Why did Rava waste his time becoming an expert on whether something was dam nidus or dam chimud if it's all the same? So this led to a machlekes rishonim. What exactly is the solution to this problem? So the Chiddush Iran in Maseches Nida says that Gemara is absolutely zero relevance to halacha. That means the halacha is that dam chimud is the same as dam nidus. It's coming from the lining. It's coming. There's no makah there. There's no wound there. No irritation there. Nothing. It's mamash dam nidus derais. No malav lamayrid. Where what the source of the blood would be coming from? So why was Rava telling a hoshtikal terah to the mother of the king as to what he knew how to do that? So the Ran says he was talking about his scientific knowledge. He was talking about his medical analysis. He was giving her a shear in blood. I don't know why he was doing what he was doing, says the Ran. He said, I do it halacha. So he wasn't passing shilas based on that medical information. He was just, for whatever reason, this came up as a course of discussion. Okay, why in the world? I have no idea. But Rava wasn't making a halachic comment. He was just saying that he knew the difference between the different types of damim, but it doesn't really have any halachic significance. And the Ozarua says no. The Ozarua says Rava didn't become an expert in different kinds of dam, just dam for the kicks, that there was a difference as lahalacha. And what are the differences in lahalacha? So the Ozarua claims that min haTorah dam chimud is not a problem. The dam that's brought about from some other source, not from the woman's body per se, so that wouldn't be considered to be dam on a level of deraisa. So therefore, sometimes it was important to know whether we're dealing with Nidirais and Nidiraban. So therefore, Rava became an expert in that area. So why does the Gemara say that Tavul Inase, she has to wait Shivan Akiyam as a chashash of Dam Chimud, because Nidiraban, it is a problem. I mean, Tachavu Misakin, it's too dangerous, it's too risky. Remember last week we said the Ramban said that the Chacham Asad, even Damaka, that far we don't go. But Dam Chimud, the Chacham Asad, and then the Chacham made an Eretz Gezerah, not only is Dam Chimud a problem, but when a woman's getting married, getting ready to get married, we're afraid that maybe there was even a chashash of Dam Chimud.
But according to the Arzumul, the Gemara Shim, because he's saying there's a difference between Derais and Rabban. So the first Gemara is telling me that it's Gzeira Drabbanon, so
right.
They work out well.
No, it's the Gemara's Gzeira Drabbanon is that we're afraid for the 85-year-old woman that maybe there was Dam Chimud. So according to the Chiddush Aran, if there really was Dam Chimud, that's
Gzeira Drabbanon, but the Gemara's too
fit. Right. That's the...
But according to Ran, how does he...
Of course they fit. According to the Ran, on a level, in a world of halacha, Dam Chimud is the same as Dam Nida. Rava was talking about biology. He wasn't talking about halacha. He wasn't saying any halachic statement. All Dam is deraisa. So again, an afkamina ladina between the Ran and the Ozarua. Halacha lemaisa, if you have Dam Chimud, would that be a Nida deraisa? Would that be a Nida derabon? Make that much of a difference? Doesn't make that much of a difference. Lemaisa, all the Rishonim, we usually assume like this Chiddush Haran, that the Ozarua is a tremendous Chiddush to say that. That Dam Chimud would only be a bit derabanan, that's very, very difficult to say. Even according to the Azurua, it doesn't really make much of a difference. It's going to be a problem. In theory, would we ever have a shayla of Dam Chimud b'zman hazeh? Could anyone even figure out what Dam Chimud would be? So maybe one could argue that the idea of Dam Chimud, what's the svar behind Dam Chimud? If there's such a chiluk on the level of the araisa, what's the svar? And the stum of the svar is that maybe the Torah only creates nida deraisa when it's the woman's body herself that causes the blood to come out. When once you start to introduce artificial things, such as Chimud, so maybe that would only be a nida midrabanan. If that would be true, so maybe you can argue that if you have, sometimes we have women who are staining, who are all kind of bleeding that's been caused by external things, by pills, by hormones. So maybe pills and hormones, maybe that would be the equivalent of dam chimud, that these are things that are artificially introduced into the body which are causing staining. So maybe one can argue, according to the Sazarua, those kinds of dam would be only considered to be a dam midrabanan. Again, we don't pass this. It's totally irrelevant lahalacha, because even according to the Sazarua, it's still a problem midrabanan dam chimud, and I don't think anybody holds like this. I think that the conventional wisdom has always been that dam chimud is a mamish nida deraisa, and it doesn't matter if a woman's period is being brought about by pills and lamal of lamari. It's the same regular hilchos nida min haTorah. If it's a re'iyah, then it's a deraisa. If it's a kesem, it's a derabana. The fact that it was brought about artificially, it doesn't make any difference. If it's damakba, then it's not nidus at all. But if it's the endometrial lining that's being caused by some external trigger or something, that really doesn't make much of a difference in terms of hilchos nida.
Why should this be any different than a woman who
is
because of jumping or
unknown during delivery? Right, Nachanami. So it means according to this tzad, the Dam Chimud would only be midrabanan. Those would all be midrabanan, right? Unless you argue the some Mishnah right that Dam Chimud would only be midrabanan if it's completely Dam Chimud. But how do you know that Dam Chimud is not also triggering Dam Nidus? I have no idea. I don't know what any of these things mean. I don't think anybody is as skilled as Rava to be able to make such a test. The whole thing is Parech Ba'avir. So again, Lamaisa doesn't mean anything for us. Why am I talking about it? It doesn't mean anything. It's an interesting topic. But the reason why I'm really talking about it is that's the introduction to the next topic. It's the introduction to what I really want to talk about is this Din Midrabanan called Tavol Linase. That because it is Chashash of Dam Chimud, the Raisa Dirabanan, because it is Chashash, there is a real din with the Rabbanan on the books, that anytime a woman gets married, she is required to wait Shivan Akiyam, even if she would not have been a nida derais. Even if she went to the mikveh 20 years ago, she's getting married at the age of 85, she still has to go to the mikveh with the Rabbanan, because of Tavu Alinase. So I want to speak a little bit about the parameters of that halach of Tavu Alinase, not only for the once in a while, for the older woman who gets married, but it does impact on our girls as well. When a regular girl gets married at the age of 20, whatever, so it does have nafkamina zladina, this halacha. So we'll have to get a little bit of a background to this halacha. So there is an interesting historical discussion about this takonas chachamim of Tavol Inosu Tzrichaleish of Shivan Akiyim, namely when exactly, which basin exactly instituted this takana. Why is this interest us? Usually we don't really care too much which particular basin instituted a takana. So here there's a problem, the famous kasha that's raised by the Taz and Uchas Nida about this Dinder Rabbanan called Tavol Inosu. The Taz asked the following question, Salam to Shakasha on Megillas Rus. So he said, if you look at Megillas Rus, so the story is in Megillas Rus that Boa is asleep in the Goren, and Rus comes, and she basically basically says he has to marry her. So he says, okay, wait till the morning. Can't get married at 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, wait till the morning. We'll figure out what to do. And he pulled off. And then the mice, they basically get married right away. So comes the Taz and says, wait a second, they can't do that. The Kasha and Boaz. Isn't the Gemara say that the Chavim made a takana called Tavul Dinase Tzricha Leishav Shiv Nekiyim? So even if Rus was going to the mikvah for Hilchas Nida purposes, you know, in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, or before the days of the Beis Hamikdash, single girls would also go to the mikvah because it was for the purpose of Tumah V'Tahara. A person wanted to eat Truma, a person wanted to be Tahara for Kachim, whatever it was. So people went to the mikvah all the time. Men went to the mikvah, girls went to the mikvah, everybody went to the mikvah. Whenever they were Tumah, they went to the mikvah. That's if you're looking around Yerushalayim, so you go digging up the old mikvah. Every other house has got a mikvah in the old city. I mean, in the olden days, you know, they would show you all the old mikvahs. Why did everybody need a mikvah? Yeah, of course everybody needed a mikvah, because mikvahs were for everybody. They weren't just for women going for nidus. Nebuchadnezzar's man is there. We don't have to invitar anymore, so all we have left is tevila for the purpose of Hilchus Nida. So even the Niach, that best case scenario, that Ruth happened to have been Tahora, but she came to present herself to Boaz, even though she was Tahora, but she still would have had to go to the, she would still have had to wait Shivanakim and go to the mikvah, because Tavuli Nasit, Tzvichaleish of Shivanakim. So that's the Kash that the Tazia, Salom de Shakash and Megillus Rus. Most people, when they're reading Megillus Rus on Shavuos morning, are not thinking these terms, but that's how the Taz, when he read Megillus Rus, that's the Kash that he thought of. So the Taz says he doesn't think it's such a kasha. He says because it's only a din midrabban on this tavuli nasei tzricha leishav shiv nekiyim. We have no way of knowing when this takanat chachamim was made. He said we know it was instituted sometime between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and the days of the Amoraim. It first appears in the Gemara Maseches Nid, it appears in a few other places in the Gemara. So that's quite a span of time. That's a good 1,700-1,800 years from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until the times of the early Amoraim. So some days then somewhere along the way made this takana. So lav dafka that it was a basin before the days of Boaz. He said it could have been a Bezin way after the days of Boaz. Could have been a Baisheni. I don't know who made this takana, says the Taz. So therefore he argues that he doesn't think that the kasha is really a kasha. We don't want to lose too much sleep over this kasha. But then he says, Odi Shlomer, if you do lose sleep over the kasha, I'll give you another teretz, he says. He says, Alom Desha teretz. He says, this gezeira of Tavu Ali Nase, Tzricha Leishav Shiv Nekiyim, what's the nature of the gezeira? The gezeira is that we're afraid that the woman's going to get excited because she's planning on getting married. So she's got this whole, you know, she's thinking about getting married, she's counting down, she's thinking about getting married, she's counting down the days, she's looking for him, getting married in 3 weeks, getting married in 2 weeks. So her body's going to start to get excited. So who knows, maybe it's going to lead to some triggering, whatever this dam chibur, again, biologically we're not sure what this is, but maybe Kenzai is going to lead to some kind of a dam chibur. But says the Taz, what if you have the following? What if you have a chick-chock marriage? He said the husband proposes to her, and they get married 3 seconds later. Mamish, right away. Mamish. Also, Maimar. So says the Taz. Maybe there's no Dabchimut, Mechia Gavna. Maybe if it's so, there's no anticipation. There's nothing that everything's happening so quickly. She doesn't even have a chance to think about it. So maybe that's not considered to be a Dabchimut. So he says, that's what happened with Boaz and Rus. So she comes to him, B'chatzia Laila. By the next morning, they're ready to get married. It's the shortest engagement on record. So he says, maybe Mechia Gavna, there's no Dabchimut. So Chapman after Miladin, if a couple gets engaged, gets married in 10 minutes, so then there wouldn't be a requirement of Uli Nase. Again, it's hard to know what the answer to the question is. The question wasn't a question, as the Taz says in his first terrace, that the whole Takana was instituted in the stomach after the story of Boaz and Ruth. But anyway, there is such a din and there is such an interesting question in Hilchos Nida that appears in print. So getting back to the story, so this halacha really does apply to Vuli Nosei, and it's relevant for us. The phrase that Chazal used to describe this halacha is Tavu Ali Nosei Tzricha Leishav Shiv Nekiyim. Once she has been requested, Tovea, that what the husband already sent for her, he proposed to her, he's asking her to marry him, so then the Chimur potentially begins. And at that point, the Shiv Nekiyim have to be counted. It's obvious from the Gemara that, let's say, it hasn't yet officially reached the point of Tavu Ali Nasei. He hasn't actually requested her to marry him. She thinks he's going to request her to marry him. So let's say they're going out for a couple of months, and she thinks that they're going to get married. He hasn't said anything yet. He hasn't addressed the issue yet. They're not up to Tachlis yet. They're still schmoozing. So she says, you know what? Let me get a jump on things. I'll start to count my Shiv Nekiyim right now. That way I'll be done. That way, when he finally proposes, we'll be able to get married in 3 days. We don't have to wait a whole week. So she starts to count the Shiv Nekiyim then. So it's clear for the Gemara, that's no good. That's not Tavu Ali Nasei. The chimur only kicks in at the point when you have an official tavuli nasei, when he officially proposes to her. That's considered to be tavuli nasei. That's when the chashash kicks in. If you count shivanakim before it, so every girl at the age of 15, when she finishes high school, she'll count shivanakim just in case she'll be tavuli nasei. That's ridiculous. The whole takana only applies when it's tavuli nasei. So at what stage is considered to be tavuli nasei? At what point do you say that the husband has already requested that he's going to marry her? So I remember there was a So I remember a couple of years ago there was a survey that was done in one of the YU newspapers about they interviewed 100 guys in YU, 100 girls in Stern, who was involved in a serious relationship. So it came out that like 90% of the girls thought they were involved in a serious relationship, and only 20% of the guys thought they were involved in a serious relationship. And it turned out that 99% of the relationships were between the two schools. So there was obviously a little bit of a problem there. So that's what the poskim pointed out also, that if she thinks that's the bully nosim, but he hasn't been tovea yet, so then that's not really considered to be dam chimut. So at what point do we say it's called Tavoli Nasek? So the Poskim used to say the following lashon, that it has to be that she really is convinced that they're going to get married. The fact that they're dilly-dallying, they're going out, and they're schmoozing, and they're doing this, and whatever I have to check my wife, all the preparatory things that have to be done before they get engaged. So I said, that's not called Tavoli Nasek. Tavoli Nasek, the Poskim say, is when they sign the Tnoim. That's the lashon that the Poskim in Europe used to say. You have to sign, once they sign the Tnoim, then it's already Tavoli Nasek. Then she can begin to count Shivan Akiyam. So that's a little bit of a problem, because many of us don't sign tonight. So what that would mean is as follows. It's if you take that literally, that you have to sign tonight, and until then you can't have to fully nosei. So the only thing that most of us do is this makeshift or Moshe's, make-believe tonight that we sign at the Chosin's Tish. So if you're gonna equate that to the signing of the Tanaim of old, so it means the woman cannot begin to count Shiva Nikiyim until after that. So what happens? So that's usually not what happens. Usually the woman goes to the mikvah 3 days before. Okay, assuming that answer to the Taz is correct. Okay, so we have a problem, because when we signed Tanaim, so now imagine the following scenarios. So the woman went to the mikveh 2-3 days before. That was for Nidas Deraisa. Good, very nice. She's the Horem Deraisa. Now all of a sudden they signed the Tanaim, so now the hormones start rolling. So now it becomes Tavuli Nasa. Now she's really excited. She's really expecting that she's going to get married. Oh, no, she's sitting there waiting. So now the Rav comes over to her and says, by the way, we can't have this wedding yet. Everyone's got to go home, and we have to wait a whole week, because you have to go home, do Hefsik Tara, go count Shivanikim, and then go to the mikveh, because it has not yet been Tavuli Nasa, and any Shivanikim that you counted before was only good lagabi the need is their isa problem, but it didn't solve the Tavuli Nasi problem. It didn't solve the Chashash with the Rabbanat Amchimun. So you got to start the whole count over again. Every command, that would be an interesting chumra in every chasana. So we generally don't follow that. Why do we not follow that? So the later poskim today, the contemporary poskim, right? Why did the poskim in Europe use this lashon of the Tanoim? So the Tanoim is Allah Moshe Pesina. Where did they get that idea from? So the answer is the Tanoim is money. That's the bottom line. That in the olden days, the Tanoim meant a commitment, a financial commitment, that if I back out from the marriage, so it's going to cost me money. I'm going to have to pay to me. So he used to have Dinei Torah over Tanoim. So our Tanoim today don't really do that. Our Tanoim, except the Chassidisha, real Chassidisha circles. So our Tanoim don't say anything. They just say in a very nice poetic way that everyone's agreeing to get married to each other. But in the olden days, the Tanoim meant that you're laying down money. So we all know that until a person signs a check, it doesn't mean anything. So it's all words. So Kozman, that the parents at the chosin and the parents at the kollel, they're schmoozing and they're negotiating and they're talking, and no one's put down any money yet, no one's committed themselves in writing. So that's not called Tavoli Nasek, the poskim in Europe used to say. But once it's committed in writing, and now it's going to cost people money if they back out, that's called Tavoli Nasek. So the modern day poskim say, the same is true today without Tanoim. When you give a non-refundable deposit on your caterer and your flowers and your photography, and if the wedding breaks up 2 days before the wedding, it's going to cost them a pretty penny. So come to poskim and say, that's called a commitment. So once the kollel knows that the parents are already committed to get to this wedding, and the chassan's already committed to this wedding, and there's financial commitments in place, that's already called tavoli nasi. And that's the modern day equivalent of what the tanoim of Europe is. That's what we assume the halacha. We assume that once that commitment has been in place, so then the woman can count shivan akim. It would be pretty foolish for her to count shivan akim right away. Let's say they sign off for the caterer 3 months before the wedding. So the girl gets all excited. Great, I'm going to count Shiva Nikim and go to the mikvah. What do you run to the mikvah for? You're going to become a needed deraisa next week. So you're going to have to go to the mikvah again. So you might as well wait until you've passed the last needed deraisa. Let's say you're going to get your last period a week and a half before the wedding. So when that period is over, then count Shiva Nikim and go to the mikvah. And you're killing two birds with one stone. That means that Shiva Nikim and that tevila is solving the needed deraisa problem of the last 10 years of your life. And it's also fulfilling this din derabanan of tavoli nasi. That's what happens bizman hazeh. So whether the girls understand all this lomdos, what's going on, that when they go to the mikvah, it's a brisket tevila. That first tevila is a tzvei dinam dikar tevila. It's solving the need of the Araisa problem, and it's also knocking off the need of the Rabbanim problem of Tavuli Nasei. So you don't want to do that too early. If you do it too early before Tavuli Nasei, so then, let's say you have, even if you have a woman who's past menopause, so she's not going to have to be tovah for need of the Araisa. Her whole tevila is only going to be for need of the Rabbanim, assuming that she went last time, 20 years ago. So this whole, her old tefillah at the age of 85 is going to be for the Dida de Rabbanan, so she can't do that until Tavuli Nasi, until this financial commitment. Otherwise, it's too early, then the Chimer hasn't started, and you didn't fulfill this Dida de Rabbanan yet.
That can be done 3 months before when they sign up
in the case. So now the question becomes, so we spoke about how early this Tavuli Nasi begins. I mean, you can't do the tefillah before Tavuli Nasi, but when is the proper time to do it? So there's a machlekes that we shine between the Rashba and the Rush. What exactly happens? What's the sequence of events? So let's say, let's leave out a need of the Araisa. Assuming the woman's 85, she's getting married a second time, she went to the mikveh 30 years ago, the last husband, and she's tahora mid Araisa still. And now she's getting married at the age of 85. So they go to a caterer, they sign with the caterer, they're going to get married in 6 weeks from now. So what should our approach be at this point? So the Rashba says, let her go to mikveh right now. So what do you have to lose? He says, she's not going to get another period in the next six weeks. She's just concerned that maybe there was a chashash of a dam chimud. So that dam chimud, says the Rashba, begins at the moment of tavul inos. Hey, that's it. That's all it is. So one formal tevila, yaitzizayin, you can't shivnikim, you go to the mikveh and sholmai, so that's it. And then you don't have to worry about it for the rest of your life. That's how the Rashba says. And the Rush says, no. The Rush says that that's not right. The dam chimud starts at tavul inos, but it doesn't end there. It keeps on going. It means the anticipation. As you get closer to the wedding, so she becomes more and more excited, more and more potentially stimulated. And therefore, you can't just go to the mikveh 3 months before and call it a day. You have to go to the mikveh as close to the chasen as possible in order to fulfill this takanas hacham of dam chimur. So according to the Rush, what do you mean it's close to the chasen? When? According to the Rush, what? She's standing at the chuppah, she has to leave the chuppah and run to the mikveh. Obviously, there has to be some kind of a shiur, there has to be some kind of a time which is close enough to the chuppah to say, okay, you were yaitzin the din midrabanan. So according to the Rush, it would be inappropriate for the woman to go to the mikveh 6 months earlier. She's got to wait until very, very close. Very, very end. So, when exactly is that time? So, this already has enough kamina now for us. This is not just enough kamina for the 85-year-old people. There's enough kamina for the regular girls who are getting married. So, we said that when a regular girl gets married today, she's going to the mikveh for two very different reasons. One is a nidid de araisa, and one is the din de rabbanan of tavua linase. So, when should she go to the mikveh? So, let's say she got her last period finished a week and a half ago. She knows she's on pills, she's on cycle, she knows she's not getting a period for another 3 weeks. So what should she do now? So according to the Rashba, let her go to mikveh now. But as soon as she finishes her last period, she'll count shiv nikiyim, go to the mikveh and finish. She doesn't have to worry about it for the next 2 weeks. And she doesn't have to be bothered. She can go to the mikveh now. She was yotzei the tefillah de araisa she finished. She's not going to get a period again until after the wedding. The din de rabbanan she was yotzei because tavuli nasei was enough once the moment of the tefillah is good enough to be yotzei. You don't have to worry about it anymore. But according to the Rush, that's not right. According to the Rush, that would be jumping the gun. According to the Rush, that's too early. The real fulfillment of the Tekhanas HaChamim is supposed to be much, much closer to the Chuppah. So it would not be right for the woman to go to the mikveh right now and 2 weeks before her wedding. She should try to push off the tefillah to as close to the wedding as possible. What do you mean? Until when? Where's the shiur? So what? The morning of the wedding? The day of the Chuppah? She has to go to the, at what point do we say it's considered to be close enough even to fulfill the Shittas at Rush? So the Ramah, in Yeridaya, deals with this question. The Ramah writes that Amdinig is to follow the Rush, that we don't go to the mikveh weeks before, just to be yaitzei tevulah nasi and call it a day like the Rashba. We try to be samech the tevila as close as possible to the chuppah. So what's considered to be close as possible? So the Ramah comes up with what seems at first glance to be a very, very arbitrary shiur. The Ramah says within 4 days of the chuppah. The Ramah says as long as it's within 4 days of the chasidah, that's good enough. That's considered to be even a fulfillment of the shiur. That Rosh, that's all the woman has to do. That's what our minhag is today. That we tell them, say, a girl's getting married on a Sunday, so we'll say, hey, you go to mikveh Thursday night, that's okay. Girls get married on Tuesday, on Thursday, you can go Tuesday night, but as long as it's within 4 days, it's okay. We give this leeway of 4 days, and the kallahs appreciate this leeway because they don't want to go to the mikveh the morning of the chasana. They don't want to go to the mikveh the night before because they want to get their hair done, they want to get nails done. Okay, they got a lot of other things to do. So the last thing they want to do is to run to the mikveh 10 minutes before the chasana. So we follow this Ramah Bisman Hazeh that we give them within 4 days before the chasana. That's okay. Where in the world did this minig of the Ramah come from? So it's a strange number. The Rush doesn't say this number. The Gemara for sure doesn't say this number. Where did the Ramah get this number from? So the Ramah himself explains that he got the number based on a combination of different practices. practices that existed in Europe. Each one was a fascinating halachic quasi-minic practice. And he says, this is the minic Yisrael. This was the minic in the Eastern European communities, Medeiri Deiris, that within 4 days was considered to be close enough. How did he know this is true? So he says, it's based on the following. There are like 10 steps in order. We'll try to condense them quickly. So he said, it all started with the first Mishnah in Maseches Ksubas. Back to the very beginning. Vesula Nisis the Omar V. So the Mishnah says in Ksubas that when a girl would get married in the olden days, they would get married for the first time. A woman would get married on Wednesday. Why did they get married on Wednesday? Because they would have Bir Rishon on Wednesday night. And in case there was some kind of an issue with Dan Vesula, and he says she's not a Vesula. Yeah, Vesula. They would come fighting already in the morning after the Chasana. At least Bezim would be there. So they wouldn't have to wait to get to Bezim. Bezim used to sit on Shein B'Chamishi. So therefore they were Masach and Vesula Nisis the Omar V. So that was the practice. So the Gemara already says in Ksubas that we don't follow that anymore because we don't have Batei Dinim sitting Dafka on Thursday. We have Batei Dinim, either we have Batei Dinim sitting every day or we have Batei Dinim sitting no days. Whenever Batei Dinim are, we don't have those days of Monday and Thursday anymore for Batei Dinim Kavuim as in the days of old, which is all a throwback. It's all because of Kriyas HaTorah, because of the Elaine on Monday and Thursday, so the people would come in for the marketplace on Monday and Thursday, they'd come for Kriyas HaTorah, they'd come for the Dinim HaTorah. It was all one big package deal. So the maybe they laying the Megillah, whatever it was. So Monday to Thursday were happy days in the olden days. Today it's not so happy anymore. So another 30 seconds more of davening. Depends with shulim, 20 seconds, whatever. As long as it takes you to say the long tachanun. For those who still say the hurachim, don't have brisses every day. But get back to the story. So Monday and Thursday was a big day in the olden days, and therefore they were masak and dafka that girls would get married on Wednesday. Fine. The Gemara says we don't really follow that anymore. So even though we don't really follow that anymore, there are more rights that there used to be a practice that is a zeicher to that. So whenever girls would get married, so they would go to the mikvah, believe it or not, they would go to the mikvah on Tuesday night. Because imagine, Bizman HaMishnah, when they would get married on Wednesday, so they used to go to the mikvah on Tuesday night. So there was a minig Yisrael, minig in the communities of the Ramah, that the single girls, when they would go to the mikvah for the first time, Tuesday night was the night to go to the mikvah. That was it. That was a zeichah to the Mishnah in Maseches Ksubas. They hadn't been practicing the Mishnah Ksubas for 2,000 years, but somehow in Krakow, the 1500s, they were still going to the mikvah Tuesday nights. And when were they getting married in Krakow? So the Ramah says, we know when weddings were in Krakow. All the weddings in Krakow were always on Friday. Why were the weddings in Krakow on Friday? We know why. In all of Europe, they used to get married on Friday, even though the Gemara says you're not really supposed to. It may lead to Chil Shabbos, but the minig was they used to be Mekel and Tetshalem, like we showed him, because of economic reasons. They didn't have any money. They didn't have any food. So instead of making a fancy meal on a Monday night and then having to pay for chicken again for Friday night, so you can only afford one chicken a week, so they killed, no pun intended, but killed two birds with one stone. So when you yaitse the dinner, that really wasn't intended, but you yaitse the Sudas Shabbos and the Sudas Chasen all rolled into one piece of chicken, and try like fiddler on the roof style. Everyone brought their own. Bring your own chicken. Bring your own gefilte fish to the chasana. So that was chasana style in the Heilige towns. This is where it wasn't thousands of years ago. It was my grandmother told me she remembers as a little kid together. The weddings used to be in the shtetl where she grew up in Galicia. People used to get married on Friday. So it's as the background. We spoke about this in the past. This was the famous historical background to that mice in the Ramah Shul, that the Ramah was once besotted Kedushin on Friday night because there was once a mice that happened that there was a Yesoma who was supposed to get married on Friday, and then at the last minute they got into a fight over the Ksuba between her brother and the Mechutanim, and then the Mechutanim wanted to leave town. It was right before Shabbos, and the Ramah made Shalom, and then the Ramah was afraid that made Shalom Friday afternoon, but you have 24 hours to get back into a fight again. So he was afraid. He didn't want to wait till Motzei Shabbos to be Masada Kedushin. It was already Shabbos. Shabbos had already started. So the Ramah made an announcement. He said that no one's allowed to start Kabbalah Shabbos until Masada Kedushin. He was Masada Kedushin. He put up the chuppah on Friday night. He writes in the Tshuva that it was 2-3 hours after dark already, and he was Masada Kedushin on Shabbos following Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said that even though the Mishnah says you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos, but the Rabbanon, so the Rabbeinu Tam says if you're getting married for the first time, it's mutter. But for the Mokom Peruvu, that's overrides the Yisad the Rabbanon of getting married on Shabbos. So we happen. Normally, we don't pass back to Rabbeinu Tam, but the Ramah writes, "V'shas al chach." It was Mishum Yisoma. It was going to be a big machlokes. So he was willing to be making under Rabbeinu Tam v'shas al chach godl, and he mamash was masadik kedushin on Friday night. He writes it beferish in his tshuvas. He writes it under Ramah and Shulchan Aruch that if you have such a v'shas al chach, you're allowed to be masadik kedushin on Shabbos itself. So kachava. So the Ramah was masadik kedushin. The chasam was supposed to be Friday afternoon. They got delayed fighting in the ksuba. He was masadik kedushin on Friday night. It was fascinating because in the tshuva he writes that he made a kolkeri, announced that all the shuls, no one's allowed to start davening Kabbal Shabbos until this is resolved. And, you know, imagine Mizman Hazef, that would happen. So everyone would have a break off minion, a shtibol, everyone would start a minion in the house. But the Ramah was king in Krakow. What he said went. So I had this chus when I was in Krakow this past June. So I went to visit the Ramah Shul. So I gave a shiur about this. Like, in the Ramah Shul, I gave a shiur to 20 bachim from the yeshiva in Berlin who came with me. So I said over Mamish, the whole Torah, to all the background, the chiks have been a time to the Rishonim, all the Ramah was making, and all the backlog, and the fighting afterwards, and the whole Shul Torah was said, Mamish standing. I was standing here. And literally 2 feet away was the Ramah's shtender, where the Ramah davened, and there's a plaque that still stands out of Yamazet that says, Kan Mesorah B'Yadeinu, we have a tradition, Kan Amad Rabbeinu HaRamah, V'Shoah Sheshofach Liba Lefnei Koinon. This is where the Ramah would stand when he would daven Shemana Esrei. Mamash, I was like from here to here. So I was standing and saying over the Ramah Shtekel Torah in the Shulam Krakow. Anyway, so after this all happened, so the Ramah wrote in the Tshuva that the people got upset at him, that he was Masadik Kedushin on Shabbos. So he writes, opens up the Shuvah to defend what he did, but he writes, Vatisa'eni Ruach Vashmach or I call Rash Gadol. So he says, there's a lot of noise about what I did, so let me explain to you why I did what I did. And he explains in the Shuvah why he did. But the end of the story was that they made a takon in Krakow after that no weddings on Friday. So that was it. That was the last wedding that ever happened in Krakow. And apparently, I've heard from people who lived in Krakow before the war, who said that the takon in Krakow, there were never weddings. Since the days of the Ramah, from 1500 to 1900s, there were never weddings in Krakow on Fridays, unlike other Polish cities, because of that takon that was made in the days of the Ramah, because of that whole balagan. Anyway, so getting back to this story. Sometimes when you think about Krakow, you think, wow, Krakow, the Ramah must have been like a mamish ear of envy. Yisrael must have been among the bustling metropolis. And I was in Krakow. They showed me the Jewish community in Krakow. They showed me exactly what it was. It was the entire community, from the shul of the Ramah to the base of Kvaris, to Dan, the whole thing was 2 blocks. Mamish, the whole thing was, and the Jews weren't even allowed to go out of those 2 blocks. It wasn't an official ghetto, but it was Kimat, basically a Jewish quarter. It was mamish, nothing there. And the people would be born there. They lived the whole life there. When I came home to my kids last year, afterwards, I was trying to explain, give a little bit of a flavor as to, you know, what life was like. I said, imagine living your entire life on Rector Court. I said, that you never went outside of Rector Court. That was it. There was no vacations. You didn't cross the bridge every day. You lived your life. You went to school. You got married. You lived on Rector Court. Mamash, maybe you have some shut-ups. It's a different, little bit of a different lifestyle. Anyway, getting back to the story. So the Ramah says that in the olden days, the girls used to go to the mikvah on Tuesday night, but they didn't get married until Friday, because this was pre this story. So they used to get married on Friday. So when did they have Bi'ur Rishon up? So I would think they would have Bi'ur Rishon on Friday night, not so fast, because there's a whole sugya Maseches Ksubas about, are you permitted to have Bi'ur Rishon up on Friday night? What's the shayla? The shayla of making dam. Normally, Bi'ur Rishon causes dam. So is that a shayla of being chayvel on Shabbos? Machleikis, Nigemara, Lomdus. Those who learn Ksubas, so remember from Davav, all the Shiva Bachram who never learned Masechah Shabbos, who learned Ksubas, they learn all the sugyas about Shabbos in that sugya, because the Gemara talks about Malach Shem Tzvich Legufa, and Dov Hashem Miskaven, and Psikresha, and Mekalkel, everything that they would normally have learned in Shabbos, that they learn in Ksubas Davav. So finally, the Gemara concludes that Hilchos, so that it's Mutter. You're allowed to be Baal, Rebeel, and Rishon on Shabbos. But Afal Bichain, there were some Rishonim who say, no, that's not really what the Halacha means. So there was a minug that some people were Machmir not to be Baal, Rebeel, Rishon on Shabbos. So the Ramah writes, that was the minug in Krakow. That was the minig in Poland, in the cities of the Ramah, that the minig was that they would not have Bi'ur Rishon on Shabbos. So what does that mean practically? So that means a regular wedding would take place on Friday afternoon. The couple would not be together until Motzei Shabbos. That was Bi'ur Rishon. So the Ramah says, now do the math. So the couple would get, the girl would go to the mikvah on Tuesday night, and she wouldn't be with her husband until Motzei Shabbos. So how many nights went in between? So that means it was Wednesday night, it was Thursday night, it was Friday night, and nobody was paid to Ben Mitzavtev. Nobody said, hey, wait a second, what happened to the Dam Chimur? Isn't there a Dam Chimur problem? So the answer is, that's close enough to the wedding, that's close enough to be a Rishona, that's even according to the Rashi, Yates the Shia within 4 nights. As long as 4 nights haven't transpired between when she went to the mikvah and when she's with her husband, so that's okay. We assume that that's not considered to be a problem. So the Ramah writes, it's based on this minig that existed in Eastern Europe, which was a combination of so many different permutations. It was based on the fact that they had this strange minig of getting married, going to the mikvah on Tuesday night, which was a throwback to the days of the Mishnah of Basula Nisus, which hadn't been practiced for 2,000 years. But that was the minig in Europe. They used to go to the mikvah Tuesday night. And it was based on the economic realities to have chasanas on Friday. And it was based on the fact that they had this chumrah that they didn't have birishon on Friday night. So you put all three of these make this whole shulam together. So that was the reality. So the Rambam's living in the 1500s in Krakow, and he's telling you, this is what's happening. People are getting married. People are going to the mikvah Tuesday night. They're getting married on Friday. They're having birishon on Mitzvah Shabbos. This is what's happening. And nobody's any problems with this. The earlier Rabbanim, the previous Jairus, no one ever was the fact that this should be a problem. So says the Rabbanim, we assume that this is good enough. This is considered to be close enough to the chuppah, close enough to be a rishon and not to be a problem. So this Rabbanim is lemaisa, b'zman hazeh. Because even though nobody's going to the mikvah on Tuesday nights because of Besul Nisayis anymore, that minhag is long gone. No one's getting married on Friday afternoon, b'zman hazeh. That minhag is long gone. No one's waiting to have a rishon until Motzei Shabbos, b'zman hazeh. All the factors that went into this minhag, none of them have survived the last 500 years. And Avraham Bichai, that's the minhag. Minhag is that we wait within 4 nights is considered to be good enough. So that's why Adi Yamazel, when a girl gets married on Sunday night, we'll say, no problem, you go to mikveh Thursday night. That's okay. Thursday night, within 4 nights, that's okay. As long as 4 nights haven't passed between the time of going to the mikveh and getting married, it'll be Rishon, whatever it is. So we assume that that's good enough, even according to the Rosh. That's what that minhag is, b'zman hazeh. What if for some reason she can't do this? What if she some big chaser chach, she has to go to the mikveh before that?
When you say 4 nights, just a clarification. If she gets, you're assuming that she's getting married on the night. But I'm asking, what if she gets married on Sunday at 12 o'clock?
So, l'chora, you can't have, the Ramo wasn't as machped about the weddings, more machped about when the Birishon is going to be.
Okay.
So as long as there haven't been 4 nights between the Leila Tevila and let's say just do the math, that they would have go to the mikvah Tuesday night. So he was okay. The Rama was okay with Wednesday night being passed by with no beer, Thursday night, Friday night, that was okay.
Exactly.
But he wouldn't permit the girl to go to the mikvah Monday night and get married in Motzei Shabbos. That was already too far.
Right, but I'm saying so Tuesday night would be a problem if she's getting married on Sunday. 12
so o'clock. Right. So she's getting married. Right. So if she's going to the mikvah Tuesday night, so then Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Motzei Shabbos.
Which
would be Sunday, it would be too long, right? Right. The Rambam wouldn't want it like that. He would rather she go through it for
and
Wednesday
night.
It's not happening. So Lamaisi, you should try to move the tefillah up and on. So let's say it's not practical. Let's say Lamaisi can't, for whatever reason, she's going out of town, whatever it is. Lamaisi, she can't get a mikvah. So the Rambam writes that the Evan, if she really has to go to the mikvah before 4 nights, again, this whole 4 nights is not a halacha mashma sinai. Says she can go before, but you know what she has to do? She has to do bedikas. She has to check herself after she goes to the mikvah, because the whole chashash is maybe she's having dam chimud. So if she constantly is checking herself to make sure that she has no dam chimud, then it's not a problem. The mashmos of the Ramah is that if she's going within the 4 nights, she doesn't have to check herself anymore. That like most girls do, she's getting married on Sunday, she goes to the mikvah on Thursday night. So that's it. She finishes shivanakim, she switches to color, she doesn't have to look, doesn't have to check anything. That's the simple reading of the Ramah. The whole chumrah of the Ramah to start checking, that's when you're going too far in advance. But as long as you're within the Shia 4, that's it. The minhag is not to do bedikas. So some achronim machmir that also. Some achronim right now, bedikas you always have to do. So we don't recommend, I don't recommend. The Masorah I have is not to recommend the girls to do bedikas, because all you need is achon vei. She'll do bedikas and she'll irritate herself, and then she'll run to find the OB the day away. It's not going to be a nice situation. So therefore, we follow what the simple reading of the Ramah is. The simple reading of the Ramah is that as long as she's going to the mikvah within 4 days, so just forget about it. Don't be concerned with any bedikas. But lechatchila, we try that. And there are some way, even before that, they let her go to the mikvah even earlier than that. But again, just what it says in the Ramah. The Ramah quotes this minhag of the 4 days. It's based on the shittas of the Rosh, and it's based on this whole permutation of different minhagim of Eastern Europe, that even though none of the reasons for the minhag exist anymore, but that was considered by the Rabbanim of Eastern Europe to be close enough. So we accept that that's considered to be close enough, even Adi Yom Hazeh. So a little bit of Krakow has made it down to Bergenfield. No, Kalad Meikudin doesn't have to go at night, right? Well, we'll talk about Zman Tefillah a little bit later on, so Kalad Meikudin is not Machud to go at night.
Is that in this computation also, you know, if you go, or is that whatever day she goes, that means the night, she goes on Thursday.
So then, right, she shouldn't have four nights after when she goes, right? Right. The Ramah sounds like they used to go Taka Tuesday night. There's no halacha that she has to go to the date. It's a cooler that a kala is allowed to go to the date. It's usually more convenient because the mikvahs are empty, so then it's much easier for her to go. But the ikra, then she can go at night also.
And if she goes through the day, then she gets the extra night.
I think she loses the extra night.
No. You said
she loses or she gains.
Up to 4 nights. So what I'm saying you're right, so she loses the day.
You mean if she would have gone Tuesday night, it would have been better than going Tuesday by day, yeah. I don't know. Anyway, okay, stop here.
So, okay.